Good morning, church. Excited about the opportunity for us to worship the risen Christ together here at Friendship. Today we are continuing our series as we explore yet another precious promise from God. Friend, in a world where there are so many broken promises, aren't you grateful that we can count on God? Amen? We established the first week that a promise is the assurance that God gives to His people so that we can walk by faith while we wait for Him to work. In week two, we focused on God's promise of eternal life, and we discovered that if we are saved by the Savior, then we are safe with the Savior forever. And then last Sunday, we discussed the truth that God wants to answer prayer, that He loves to answer prayer when you and I want what He wants. In other words, when our will lines up to His will, when our desires align with His desires, God loves to answer prayer. Today we're going to focus on God's promise of peace. And I think Job's words, Job chapter 3, I'm afraid Job's words may reflect what many of us are feeling these days. Listen to what Job said. He said, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." I wonder, can you relate to those words from Job? What I feared has come upon me. What I've dreaded has happened. I have no peace, no quietness, no rest. Church, is it possible? Is it possible for us to be at peace in the midst of turmoil and stress? In order to get us prepared for God's promise of peace, I want us to take an inventory just to find out how peacefully we really are. So I want to ask you three questions, and I want you to answer with one of four responses. Here's the questions. Number one, the question is, how often do you worry? Would you say never? Would you say seldom? Would you say the answer is frequently or constantly? How often do you worry? How often do you become hyper-focused on something to the point that it consumes you? Is it an ongoing thing for you? Question number two, how often are you at peace with others? Again, would you say never, seldom, frequently, constantly? Do you live at peace with those around you, those that you work with and those who you live with? Do you feel like that you are at peace with them? Question number three, how often do you remain peaceful in times of trouble? I'm talking about when things are unraveling, when things begin spiraling around you. Would you say never, seldom, frequently, constantly? Are you at peace during the storm? So how did you do? Not so well? Is it possible for us to have peace when we have problems? Is it possible to have God's peace in times of sorrow and sickness and sadness? You know, we often say, I wish I could get some peace and what? Some peace and quiet. We almost act like peace and quiet is a destination. We refer to it as something out there. And yet the scripture talks about peace being something that happens in here. It happens in our heart. Peace is not the absence of external conflict. Peace is the result of the presence of the Prince of Peace who is at work within us. And church, if that's true, and it is, then you and I can experience peace in the midst of the mess that we're experiencing. God's peace, it can help you endure difficult people. It can help you in disturbing problems that you might encounter. Our promise for today is found in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. There have been many throughout the centuries who have tried to lock into this verse because the peace that comes from God is perfect. It's complete. Isaiah writes, "The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." Friend, God will keep in perfect peace the one in whose mind is steadfast upon God. Why? Because he or she trusts in the Lord. We're learning how important it is for us to understand God's promises within the passages in which they are found. In other words, before we can claim a text, we need to first consider the context. And so I can tell you that Isaiah is a prophet of God. He was charged with ministering to the people of God during a very dark time in their history. As a young man, Isaiah witnessed his country rising into economic and a military world power. But along with that prosperity, there was a corruption. Along with that prosperity, there was shallow spirituality. There was ritualistic religion. New power had emerged on the scene in the nation of Assyria. And as Assyria became a greater power, the splendor of Isaiah's nation started to fade. While politicians argued, the nation was downgraded and the people became anxious. Boy, does that sound familiar. Kind of sounds like what's happening in America today, don't you think? Isaiah is a wordsmith. He would often use a versatility of expression and vocabulary. His writing has a majestic grandeur to it as he exalts the grace of God in salvation. Church, the thing about Isaiah is that he knew that problems cannot prevent God's purposes. Aren't you glad that no matter what problems you and I may face, aren't you glad that there's never any panic in heaven? Yes. Amen. Grateful that God is on his throne. As we unpack God's promise of peace, let's check out some other versions of Isaiah 26:3. One of the things that I typically do in my quiet time is I'll read a verse, and if God just draws me to that, I'll look at that same verse in multiple translations. And so I want to do that with you this morning. The New Living Translation says this: "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." The King James says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." The ESV says, "You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." The New American Standard says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." And then the Amplified Version says this: "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he commits himself to you. He leans on you." Of Isaiah 26:3, we find there a powerful promise. And the promise is that God will keep in perfect peace. That word "keep," it means to guard. It means to protect, to maintain. The word "keep" is a military term. It refers to protecting a camp or protecting a castle. Church, the enemy is unable to get in when God's peace protects us. With God as our guard, we have nothing to fear. It's interesting, in the original language, the phrase "perfect peace" in verse 3 is literally "shalom, shalom." The word "perfect" is not in the Hebrew text. With Isaiah's use of colorful language, with his use of vivid vocabulary, it's interesting that Isaiah doesn't use an adjective to describe God's peace. Instead, Isaiah simply repeats the word "peace." You could read it like this: "God will keep in peace, peace." When a word is repeated in the Bible, it's often done so for emphasis, sort of like an exclamation mark. That word "peace," it refers to completion, fulfillment. The term refers to our entering into a state of wholeness and unity and harmony. In my experience, most people fail to find peace that lasts because they're looking for it in the wrong place. Friend, peace is not found in pleasant circumstances. Peace is not found in people. It's not found in having a lot of possessions. So where do we find lasting peace? The Bible teaches that it can only come from the God who is peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says this: "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." As we learned last Sunday with the promise of answered prayer, we realize that there are some conditions to God's promises. Many of God's promises to us, they are conditional. There are certain conditions that we must meet in order for God to fulfill his promises. We find the same thing here in Isaiah 26. There are two conditions in verse 3. There is another in verse 4. So the first truth is that God keeps us in perfect peace when we keep our minds mindful. When we keep our minds mindful. Verse 3, "God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast." Church, a double dose of peace comes when we discipline our minds to stay centered on God. That word mind refers to our mindset, refers to our frame of mind. Most of us need to reframe our focus so that instead of getting caught up in all of our problems, we need to set our gaze upon God. God's peace is given to those who are intentionally riveted on Him. We are to think magnificently about God. We are to adore His power. We are to pray to Him frequently. Friend, we must teach our thoughts to reverence Him in every place, because there is no place that God is not. So we need to fear and worship and love God. Philippians 4:6 reminds us, says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Provides a helpful corrective to what might be the number one sin of Christians today. It is anxious worry. Someone has said that there are more people addicted to anxiety than all the other addictions combined. That word anxious, it means that which divides, that which distracts the mind, that which draws a troubled person in different directions. Church, it's been said that worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Several years ago, there was a professor at one of the major universities, and he studied the things that people tend to worry about. And his research revealed this, that 40% of what we get anxious about never even happens. Think about that. 40% of the things that we get hyper-focused on, they never even happen. 30% of what we worry about concerns things in the past that we can't change. 12% of what we worry about are needless worries about health, which worsens as we worry. 10% of what we worry about are petty issues. And 8% of what we worry about are legitimate concerns. By that I mean things that we can actually do something about, things we can actually change. If you're following this with me, research reveals that 92% of our worry time is wasted energy. And let me remind you what Paul said. Paul instructed us not to be anxious about anything. You say, why is that? Because when we worry, we are saying that God cannot take care of us. Worry suggests that our problems are bigger than His promises. I sort of view worry in my life as a warning light. When I become worried about something, it's a good indication that God is not my first resort, that God is not the person that I'm trusting in that particular moment. Because again, worry says that God is not big enough to handle my troubles. Church, when we consider our troubles, we really have two options. We can worry or we can worship. We can worry or we can submit those things to God. Jesus doesn't want us to be saturated with stress. In Luke 21:34, He warns, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life." You know, worry can weigh us down. Like an anchor, anxiety can cause us to sink spiritually. When left unchecked, stress can strangle us. That's the picture that Jesus paints, how worry wipes us out in the parable of the sower and the seed. In Matthew 13, Jesus said this. He said, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." Listen, if you are sinking with stress today, I urge you to follow the clear teaching of 1 Peter 5:7. Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him." Why? Because He cares for us. Because He cares for you. In Philippians, Paul said, "Don't be anxious about anything. But if you are, then present your requests to God. Share your heart with Him. Let Him know what it is that's bothering you. And when you do, His supernatural, His profound peace will come and protect you so that you won't be filled with worry and anxiety." Friend, some of us are stressed, and we're stressed because we're allowing our minds to focus on things that bring us down. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feelings, and wrong feelings lead to wrong living. But the opposite of that is also true. Right thinking leads to right living. I've discovered that what we put into our minds determines what comes out in our attitudes and our actions. What we believe determines how we behave. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The truth is that many of us, we're neither joyful nor peaceful. And it's because we allow our thoughts to control our behavior. Do you know the average person has 12,000 separate thoughts every day? 12,000 a day. That adds up to over 4 million thoughts a year. Philippians 4:8 provides us with some filters to help keep out the bad and to let the good in. Paul said this, he said, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So we need to think about these kinds of things. What Paul is saying is that we are to continually focus on them in a detailed and in a logical manner. Church, God has packed a lot of good in his world. And we need to fill our minds with that which is praiseworthy. You need to be deliberate about what you allow yourself to think about. You know, just like a little Los Amigos is necessary for your body's health, I think right thinking, I think that helps our spiritual health. It helps us live the way that we need to. God keeps us in perfect peace when we keep our minds mindful. But there's a second truth, and that is that God keeps us in perfect peace when we keep our wills willing. When we keep our wills willing. Isaiah 26:3 again. God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in God. That word trust, it means to fully lean. It means to rely on someone. Listen, the person who finds peace is the person who has learned to cast themselves upon God without any reservation. And let me show you how important it is that we lean on the Lord. Paul teaches us in Philippians. He says that the peace of God will protect us. The peace of God will protect us. Friend, once we trust God with our trials and we present our request to him, Paul said that his peace will come flooding into our lives. Listen to this promise in Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What did Paul say? He said that God's peace transcends all understanding. What he's saying is that it goes beyond all that we can ask or imagine. God's peace excels and surpasses everything that we could have hoped for. And as Isaiah demonstrated, we can't even put it into words because it is peace. Peace. The peace of God will protect us. And not only that, Paul would tell us that the God of peace will be with us. The God of peace will be with us. Friend, we don't have to live the Christian life in our own strength because Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, is with us. Philippians 4:9 says, "As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." We're going to talk more about the promise of God's presence next week. That's the promise that we're going to focus on next Sunday morning. But let me just ask you this. In what area do you need to trust God? What is it that you're wrestling with that you need to surrender over to him today? Friend, we need to keep our minds mindful. We need to keep our wills willing. And then the third condition is that God keeps us in perfect peace when we keep our lives living for the Lord. Isaiah 26:4 says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." You know, church, it breaks my heart to see a new believer start out with a bang in his or her Christian life. And everything's going well. And all of a sudden they run into something and there's compromise in their life. And they struggle. And they deal with that by staying away from the church. and they get trapped in cycles of sin. Listen, God wants us to be faithful forever. And that's why we must learn to lean on Him today and every day thereafter. Let me show you what happens when we don't lean on Him. Friend, if you don't walk with God, you're going to worry yourself silly. If you don't trust in God, you will tremble at all your troubles. If you unplug from God, your life will begin to unravel. And so I would suggest that you make a renewed commitment, a commitment to live out your faith at home. Make it a priority to plug into a small group and to serve in a ministry here at Friendship. There are so many opportunities for you to serve here and to make a real difference. But we can rely on the Lord because He is a covenant-keeping God. The name Lord used in Isaiah, it's the word Yahweh, Jehovah. It's a name that points to the self-existent one. Church, our God is unlimited. Our God is unchanging. Our God can be trusted to keep His promises. The Lord God, He is the rock who endures forever. He is the eternal one. He is the only rock upon which eternal life can be built. And all of the assaults and all of the aberrations of time itself, they cannot change Him. They cannot alter our God. Our God alone stands sure and enduring. And Isaiah says, the mind that is stayed on God, the mind that remains focused on God, the person who takes refuge in Christ, he will be secure likewise. You know, in an uncertain world, confidence that the everlasting rock is there for you, that is a priceless possession. And so, friend, I urge you to trust in Him who was, who is, and is to come. Our God is the rock of ages, and He is a firm and lasting foundation for your faith and your hope. In Isaiah 26:4, it's interesting. Once again, in the original language, Isaiah gives us a double dose of a word. It's almost like he can't find an adjective to describe the awesomeness of God. And so Isaiah just repeats himself. He says, "The Lord, the Lord." Again, he impresses on us what he cannot express with human vocabulary. Friend, do you believe that God is big enough to handle your problems? If you do, say amen. I assure you that you can rely on Him because He is the everlasting rock. You know, it's one thing to have right beliefs. It's another to trust that God can handle your hurts and that He can give you peace in the midst of your problems. Friend, the only way that you're going to find peace is to rely on the rock of ages. God will keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds mindful of Him, when we keep our wills willing, and we keep our lives living for the Lord. I would be remiss if I assumed that every single one of you who is listening today is a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I mean, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to know that perfect peace will be something that is elusive for you. To put it another way, you will be restless until you receive God's gift of eternal life. If you're looking for peace today, according to Psalm 34, peace is something that you have to pursue. The psalmist said this, he says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And there are three sources of peace that you and I need to pursue. The first source is that peace is produced by the Savior. Peace is produced by the Savior. John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." And then Jesus expanded that thought in John 16, 33. He said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Listen, friend, peace doesn't come from going to a special place. Peace comes from knowing a special person. Would you say that with me this morning? Peace does not come from going to a special place. Peace comes from knowing a special person. And that special person is Jesus Christ. You see, throughout the Bible, salvation and peace, they go hand in hand. And church, I believe peace has nothing to do with the absence of a catalyst of fear. Instead, peace has everything to do with the presence of Christ. Peace isn't a clear doctor's report. Peace isn't when there's no conflict in your marriage. Peace isn't absolute certainty about your future. No, I would submit to you that peace is the knowledge that Christ is with you, even if the report comes back from the doctor and says that it is cancer. We can know peace even in the midst of that. Peace is the assurance that Christ is with you, even in the tense moments in your marriage. Peace is the awareness that Christ is present with you and that He is already waiting for you in the future. Church, God brings His peace into situations where we are the most afraid and the most frightened. Truth is that you and I, we cannot manufacture peace. Peace flows out of a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I've learned, and I think many of you could testify as well, that it's in the moments when we need God's peace most desperately that He supplies peace most abundantly. Peace is produced by the Savior. And number two, peace is also produced by the Scriptures. If you want God's peace, then you need to fill your minds with the Word of God. Check out Psalm 119. Listen to verse 165. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Friend, being intentional about time in God's Word, it produces peace. The mind that is steadfast is the mind that has its thoughts and purposes and intentions focused on the Lord God. And how do we focus our mind on God? We focus our mind on God through daily reading His Word, through thinking deeply about the Scriptures and hiding God's Word in our hearts. If we want to experience God's peace, then we need to make it a priority to feast on God's Word. And then the last source that we must pursue is that peace is produced by our submission. Friend, if you've not surrendered fully to Christ, it's time to do so. If you want rest, then make sure that you have repented of your sin. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Those who trust in God have their mind stayed and focused on Him. They trust God in all times. Under all events, they firmly and faithfully cleave to God. Listen to this conditional promise found in Leviticus. It says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. Church, the person who steadfastly looks to God will experience an inner peace which makes possible a confident outlook, even in the darkest hours. The promises that God keeps with us, they are intended to create confidence in His Word. They're intended to create faithfulness to Him. And Isaiah says that those who abide in His Word and those who cultivate faithfulness in Christ will find peace, a deep and restful assurance that God will not forsake His Word and that He will not forsake His promises. So how would God have us respond to His message today? Friend, does worry and anxiety, they have easy access into your life? Let me give you some things to think about, some action steps. The first one is this: make peace with God. Friend, if you've never made peace with Him, this is your greatest need. I'm not talking about a truce. I think a truce is saying, God, you stay on your side and I'll stay on my side. A truce is when we say, God, you take care of the big problems of the world and I'll take care of my life. But that's not peace. Peace is what takes place when you acknowledge and repent of your sin. Peace is what happens when you believe that Jesus died in your place on the cross, and you're willing to confess your faith in Him. Peace. It comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I wonder, are you ready to do that this morning? If you want peace and you want the assurance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then friend, invite Him into your life. Right where you are, you just say to Him, Jesus, save me from my sins. Make me new. God, help me turn away from my sin because by faith I put my trust completely in You. All that I am, all that I have, God, I'm willing to surrender it to You. Fill me with Your Spirit so that I can serve You the rest of my days. And for those who pray to receive God's gift of eternal life, we're excited for you. The Bible teaches the importance of publicly identifying ourselves as a follower of Christ. God doesn't want us ashamed of Him. He wants us to be bold. And so in just a moment, we're going to stand to sing. And as soon as we start singing, you meet me down front and let me know that you have surrendered your life to Christ. We want to celebrate with you, yes. But we also want to make sure that you have the resources that you need so that you can grow in your relationship with Christ. But there's a second action step to consider. And that is, I urge you to identify one thing that you're worried about right now, and give it to God in prayer. Friend, don't hold on to your worry. Is there something that you need to give Him today? Is there something you're wrestling with that you need to present to God? Would you be willing to surrender it to Him today so that you can experience a peace that surpasses all understanding? Listen, the promise of God is that peace will literally flood your life when you practice the power of prayer and you cast your cares upon Him. So I invite you this morning to meet with God. Friend, let's gather around this altar and let's experience the supernatural peace that only comes from our God. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for Your love for us. Father, for the gift of peace. That even in the midst of a world that is broken, a world where there is so much hurt and confusion, Lord, we know that we can count on You. Lord, we know that Your word is sure, and that it stands the test of time. The grass may wither away, but Your word remains forever. And Father, we pray that You would fill us with Your peace. That God, as we keep our minds steadfast, focused on You, that You would fill us with a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, so many times in our life, You don't change our circumstances, but You change us in the midst of the storm. Lord, teach us how to lean on You, the rock of all ages. Lord, I pray for believers this morning who need to submit some things to You, who need to surrender some problems, some troubles. Lord, You invite us to cast our cares upon You because You care for us. So God, I pray that we'd be faithful to do that this morning. I also pray for those here this morning who don't know You. Father, for them, peace is elusive. Always seems to be out of reach. Lord, I pray that today they would admit their sin and their need to turn away from sin and to put their trust, their faith in Your Son Jesus. All that He accomplished in His life, His death, and His resurrection. Lord, I pray that You will draw the lost into Yourself. Lord, change us this day. Change Your church this day, we pray. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.